presents a unique alternative for those wanting to break out of the traditional two-party rut. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host Demay Roberts talks with Tim Dang, one of the most influential Asian American Pacific Islander theater leaders in the country. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Aaron Boberg Doughton and Kristen Kennedy of the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art about 2016 Time-Based Art Festival. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring. We are seeking a full-time AM News and Public Affairs Director. Applications are due by 4 p.m. Friday, September 2nd at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Applications may also be emailed. Send them to hiring@kboo.org. To apply, please send both a resume and a cover letter outlining your skills and experience with regard to the minimum qualifications. And please answer the question, why is KBOO important? For more information and a full job description, go to kboo.fm/AM News. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Again, that's kboo.fm/AM News. And thank you.
Join KBOO Community Radio at Clinton Street Theater on Thursday, September the 8th for United We Stand Up, a comedy show and a benefit for KBOO. I'm T6, and I'll be your host that night, which will feature local comedians like Betty Lungen, Bree Pruitt, Adam Potsey, Brandy Morgan, Belinda Giles, Noriko Ott, and Debbie Wooten. Raffles, refreshments, and good times for all. Again, that's United We Stand Up, Thursday, September the 8th, at Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. Doors at 6:30, showcase at 7:30. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tony Ozier and the Doodoo Funk All-Stars are teaming up with KBOO Community Radio and Audio Globe for another installment of the Dookie Jam. That's September 1st at 10 p.m. at Dante's at 350 West Burnside in downtown Portland. Audio Globe is an audiovisual recording company that specializes in high-fidelity capture and streaming services, providing global reach to regional and national artists on audioglobe.com. The Dookie Jam brings together some of the region's best funk, soul, rock, R&B, and jazz musicians to jam one night a month live at Dante's. The Dookie Jam is happening September 1st, 10 p.m., and we'll be streaming live on kboo.fm and audioglobe.com.
Is it a crime loving you dear like I do? If it's a crime, then I'm guilty of loving you. Maybe I'm wrong, dreaming of you, dreaming the lonely night through. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do? What can I say after I've taken the blame? You say you're through, you'll go your way, but I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you dear like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of loving.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, August 30th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM on the web. First, a little bit of weather for you, because after all, we do live here in Cascadia under the weather, in the weather, which is, of course, the front line, as it were, in our experience of the death of our habitat. Sorry, I have to say it, but there it is. Today, cloudy and then gradually becoming clear, highs around 74. And tonight, clouds building up with a low around 56. For tomorrow, it's 50-50 as far as rain is concerned. Cloudy with a high near 70 and a light south wind. For tomorrow night, again, still chance of showers. Early on, cloudy, lows around 54. We have an extraordinary guest today joining us, Ed Fallon, who is a media superstar in out of Des Moines, Iowa, and has been reporting on the events unfolding at Sacred Stone Camp. He's been on this story right from the get-go, had it on his show, the Fallon Forum. You can Google that, the Fallon Forum. That's Ed Fallon. And hear his perspective. He's been reporting on this directly from ground zero. This is, again, we're talking the Dakota Access Pipeline, which has, instead of the powers that be would have liked, it has not quieted down. In fact, voices are growing louder, stronger, and more unifying every day. Ed joined us. And good morning, Ed. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to be with us.
Sure. Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, we are very, very pleased to have you on the show. Again, just to, you know, Ed Fallon is the Fallon Forum, and now we are presenting the Fallon Forum here through Cascadia. Ed, can you tell us what is happening today? I understand that there's a class action lawsuit that has been launched, and what have been the rumblings out of this?
Well, there's been so many things happening, it's hard to know where to start. But yeah, landowners have filed a lawsuit to stop the pipeline from using eminent domain. The law seems pretty clear that they should not be able to come through private land for a private purpose. So that lawsuit, unfortunately, some of the rulings have been going against us, but it's still a live round. But we're not waiting for that to be decided. Tomorrow, there will probably be over 100 people who are going onto the pipeline site and engaging in a nonviolent training session, and that will be followed up with direct action, where we physically try to stop construction from happening. Now, in response to that, the pipeline company has threatened to file a restraining order against me, as me and also my organization, Bold Iowa. And they've also threatened to file that against another activist who's been leading the charge. So, you know, they're just trying to silence dissent. They just want people to shut up and go away. And they've used their power and their money all along to push people around. And, you know, landowners and farmers and our tribal allies and environmental community aren't backing down. We're standing strong. We don't believe this is a legal use of eminent domain. We don't believe this pipeline has a right to take our firm ground. And we know it's going to cause climate damage. We know it's going to eventually cause water damage. And we want to continue to do everything we can to stop it.
Yeah, it seems to be from so many points of view, virtually everyone involved, the tribal leaders, the Dakota, Sioux, and now, as I understand, many other nations are represented, many other tribes are all convening at Sacred Stone Camp in support of those who are protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline, which gives people a ready-made forum, an opportunity to talk about excesses on the part of private interests all across the country, where tribal land has been desecrated, and treaties have been broken, and
one of the great things about this movement that's happening is it's a very powerful alliance of tribal communities and farmers and landowners who, you know, for many years and certainly a long time ago might have been at odds, but we're all on the same page now. We're all fighting to defend the same land, the same water, the same rights. And it's very encouraging to see the strong presence that has gathered in North Dakota. There are now over 100 tribes represented at the Spirit Camp. And, you know, again, we have the same kind of momentum here in Iowa as well. And again, we have some tribal allies in our state as well, but most of the momentum here has been coming from farmers and landowners. And so it's exciting to see that coming together of those two different communities.
Sure. What could be more American? Apple pie and farmers in Iowa. This is now they've really stepped in it. There's still, I think, from our perspective out here, there is so little coverage. The effort to suppress this, all news coming out of this area, has been the most obvious. What about communications in and out of Sacred Stone Camp? Do you have any?
Well, I've got to run after this question.
Yes,
I'm afraid,
sorry.
But I don't know what the status of that is. I have not been to the camp yet myself. It's about a 12-hour drive from where I'm at in Iowa. But what I hear is that there's still finding ways of getting information out to the public. But Dakota Access, the pipeline company, is trying to suppress dissent in every way possible. You know, up there they had the county sheriff close the road to the Spirit Camp, but people have found another way to get there. Here they're trying to put restraining orders on me on Bold, Iowa. So, but, you know, this is a really historic moment because the tribes have never come together like this. Last time they came together like this was the Battle of Wounded Knee. And, you know, in Iowa, we haven't seen landowners and farmers stand together like this since the Iowa farm crisis back in the 1980s. So what's happening is pretty historic. And don't go away. We're not done yet. So, you know, we're going to keep fighting this, and we'll keep you posted. But I've got to run now to a meeting.
Okay, thank you so much, Ed. We really appreciate your time. We're speaking with Ed Fallon at the Fallon Forum and Bold, Iowa. Two sources to follow to get news coming directly from those who are on the front lines of the effort to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. Right here in Cascadia, we have our own situation with pipelines, the Pacific Connector, in fact. And again, the struggle continues at Jordan Cove, a little closer to home. There was an op-ed article in The World recently. That's the local paper down there, by a chap by the name of Wim de Vrien. That he writes extremely clearly, eloquently, and articulately about bringing up some of the most prominent issues regarding FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and the whole permitting process. Specifically, this is a question of eminent domain being used against 630 private landowners along the pipeline route. The company's argument is that there are actually only 264. Oh, come on. Devine also accuses Jordan Coe's opponents of brainwashing. Yes, brainwashing now, for into believing the 630 number. Anybody want to stare at goats, perhaps? If you want to, I'm sure that you did the Jordan Coe Pacific Pipeline, Pacific Connector Pipeline proponents would like to get your number. That said, there are again, San Bruno is only one out of 885 American gas pipeline disasters that have stretching back 1994 through 2013. 319 fatalities, 1,254 injuries. Really, and that's just the gas pipeline. That's just in a very limited area over a very limited space of time. Can we really afford this? Can we really afford this? I mean, the Pacific Connector is to carry imported Canadian gas from Malin to in Alberta to Jordan Cove. There is a great deal more in this article. He makes some very good points, and his arguments are absolutely irrefutable. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. Engineering for us today, Janet Anderson. Kathleen Stevens, the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
When you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, a lot of us probably know that as a response to Israeli policies in the Middle East, and particularly when it comes to Palestine and the Palestinian people, that there has been a movement called the BDS movement, or the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement. There have been recent efforts by state legislatures to try to limit the effect of the BDS movement. I understand that 22